Please rise. Our text is from the first lesson, Isaiah 35. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Gracious Lord, bless us this evening as we hear these words. Bring them into our minds and into our hearts and souls. We do indeed pray for your salvation, and we pray that you would give us the strength we need to live in a troubled world. Amen. You may be seated. I think all of us, without a doubt, have a great respect for strength. We seek strength. Some of you, I know, exercise regularly and faithfully. We honor strength. We see how athletes are idolized in our culture because of their strength and skills, and we see all sorts of awards given to them. There have been some amazing and great books written about strength, different types of strength, not just physical strength, such as the famous story of endurance by Ernest Shackleton and his great enduring battle in his adventure. Other books, maybe not as well known, but still referring to in even deeper levels of strength that are important in this world, would be that by the psychiatrist Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning. If you haven't read that book, I would strongly encourage you to do it, a short little book. But it's the story of mental strength, the story of people who survived the prisoner of war camps in Nazi Germany, not just because they had physical strength or even endurance, but especially a kind of mental strength. All of those are good, and all of them in their own way can be gifts of God, and we can even develop those kinds of strength in our lives and benefit from them. But the one thing that's common to all three of those, physical, endurance, mental, is that they do not last forever. They will all eventually fade away. There's only one kind of strength that is lasting and eternal, and that's the strength that Isaiah speaks of in this 35th chapter when he says, say to those who are of an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. This is the kind of strength that we really want to have and that God truly wants us to have, and I want to share that with you this evening. Let's begin by just talking a little bit about Isaiah and his message. He lived 800 years before the time of Jesus. He was a priest of Israel, and more than that, God had called him to be a prophet. That means he would speak the words of God to the people of Israel, and not just to the people of Israel, but to all the world and to all the nations. And one of the things God told Isaiah was that most of the people that he spoke to would reject what he was saying, and they wouldn't listen to what he was saying. His message had two parts. On the one hand, he said to Israel and to all the nations of the world, you are all on a collision course with God's judgment. Unless you live your lives perfectly according to his will, always doing what is good, you are destined to face his final judgment. God, you see, does not tolerate evil to any degree. That first part of his message was a serious warning to all of us to wake up, to repent of our sins, and then to listen to the rest of Isaiah's message. The second half of his message was the beautiful message of forgiveness and salvation. In the opening chapter of his book, he quotes God's words to Israel and to all of us, if your sins are like scarlet, yes, they shall be white as snow. And then later in the same great prophetic book, Isaiah says, the Lord has laid on him, that is, a special servant and Messiah, Savior of the world. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is Isaiah's great message, and this is really the foundation for the strength that he is talking about here in the 35th chapter, this spiritual strength that God wants us to have, a strength that can actually stand up to what is most powerful in this world, and that is the terrible, hideous strength of evil. You see, the world lives under a grand illusion, the illusion that by its own efforts it can create somehow on earth a glorious utopia, that we can get rid of crime and violence and war, and yet do so while still abiding in our own sins. What human beings don't see is that there's a connection between every sin, even the what might be in our eyes the least of all sins and the greatest of all sins. There's a bond between those two. And the consequences of either are also bound together. And until it is all gotten rid of, we will never have any strength or power over it. The Bible tells us a lot about this hideous strength of evil. So John in his Revelation tells us that Satan is the deceiver of the whole world, and the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. David in Psalm 143 says, "The enemy has pursued my soul. My heart is appalled within me." Evil is a terrible, terrible, powerful thing operating in many different ways in the world. And we, by nature, have been born into it and are part of all of these troubles. And it is to all of this that Isaiah is speaking when he says, "Say to those who have an anxious heart," anxious because they recognize the problems of sin in this world, "Say to them, be strong and fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance and recompense," that is, upon the sins of this world. "But also he will come with salvation. He will come to save you." The forces of evil were bearing down upon Jesus in the end of his life on earth as demons and everything were gathering about for what Satan believed to be his final victory, defeating and destroying the Holy One, the Son of God. As all of this was happening, Jesus knew well what was taking place. And he even said to Simon Peter, "Satan has demanded that he might sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brethren." Peter did experience the hideous evil in this world that brought him to his own knees, certainly. But when Jesus rose from the dead, so also Peter rose again as well in faith, as all Christians do. Paul says that in baptism we die with Jesus to our sins. And just as Jesus rose from the dead, we also rise with him to new life. A new life that has a new kind of strength, not just physical, not just a strength of endurance, not just a mental strength, but a spiritual strength. A strength that can actually stand up to the evil things of this world. Paul and Barnabas, some of the first early Christian missionaries, went traveling about, the book of Acts tells us, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. Isaiah in the 40th chapter of this great book also says, "Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." What a great gift God promises to those who recognize their sins in repentance and seek God's forgiveness in Jesus, God's servant and Savior of the world. To them, God promises a strength that this world can never overcome. Tonight, I don't know what might be making you anxious in your hearts. I don't know if you are struggling with an illness problem, a job problem, a career problem. Maybe you're a college student struggling over your major. I don't know if you might be struggling with problems in marriage and in family. Maybe you, like me, sometimes just have this general anxiety and distress as we see the news and the horrendous things that keep happening over and over and over again, and might even wonder, God, why does this just keep on happening? Why don't you do something about it? Again, in all of those anxious thoughts, we need to hear these beautiful words. I'd recommend you going home tonight, maybe taking a scissors and cutting that little verse out of the bulletin and tucking it away somewhere, especially that it might be tucked away in your heart. Be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance and with recompense. He will come to save you. Let me share with you what I think are three cannots about this spiritual strength that are so comforting and encouraging for us in our Christian lives. The first cannot is this: we cannot avoid trials and troubles and difficulties in this life. This is a troubled world because it is a world that has fallen away from God in sin, and we are all a part of it. And I know it's very tempting for all of us to ask the question, when troubles come, why is this happening to me? But if you really think about it, the real question is, why are these things not happening to me? How should I be exempt from all the trials and troubles of this world? Ezra had a very important statement, Ezra of the Old Testament, who said, God, you punish us less than our sins deserve. That's a hard thing to read and a hard thing to say to yourself, but it's a very true thing. And if you could say that and if you can believe that, you have the beginning of real strength now in your life. That's simply recognizing how bad the situation is, simply recognizing that we are all a part of it, and as we, instead of avoiding that issue, really face it, we begin to see how God can cleanse that evil out of our lives. So we cannot avoid trouble, and we only make life difficult for ourselves when we somehow expect there to be no trouble, and when we wish always that there would be no trouble. Thank God He doesn't make us suffer at all times. He gives us times of comfort and encouragement and care, but again and again, the troubles will come back. But that leads us to a second cannot. Just as we cannot avoid trouble, when we are the children of God and have the strength that Isaiah is speaking of here in this text, then we can also believe this, that these troubles cannot last forever. Job said, Job was the man who suffered probably more trouble and trial in life than any other person who has ever lived, besides Jesus, who bore the sins of the whole world. Job said, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. And he said that because he knew deep down these troubles would not last forever. And God did grant Job a relief from them. And this is what we're reading about in our gospel today, when Jesus healed the woman's child that was demon-possessed. And even while Jesus tested her faith, while Jesus healed the man who had the speech impediment and who was deaf, all of these people that were healed in the New Testament, and there are many of them, every single one of them still had to go face other trials later on in their lives. But you see, having once been healed, they knew something very important. They knew that whatever new trouble came along in their life, it couldn't last forever. They had seen what God's power can do in their lives, and they trusted God to the very end that these troubles would not last forever. That's faith. That's trust. That's knowing that God ultimately is in control of things. So we cannot avoid, but they cannot last forever. And that leads me to a third cannot. And that's very, very important, and I think very comforting for all of us. These troubles in this life, when faced with faith, and when we find the strength that God is speaking of here from the prophet Isaiah, these troubles cannot be without a purpose. Paul says in Romans chapter 5 that he glories in tribulation. Because tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And he says, hope does not disappoint. And in the 8th chapter of Romans, he says, all things work together for good to them that love God and who are called according to his purpose. These troubles, when confronted with the faith and the strength that faith brings, will somehow lead to some good purpose in this world. If only that people watching you and seeing you go through your troubles in life and noticing your faith and recognizing there's some good light and spark of goodness in your heart, they too may turn to Jesus and discover the very same thing you have discovered. We live in trouble by faith because we have repented and we have realized that salvation that God has promised. Strength, as I began, is a good thing. It's something we respect. It's something we all seek. But it is truly this spiritual strength that only God can give, that God gives through his Son, Jesus, in his Word, that he has given to each of you tonight. So, say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Amen. Please rise. Dear Lord God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for all of the people who have gone before us, who also have been tested with trials and troubles in their lives, who have seen the glimpse of heaven in your handiwork, in your miracles, and in the truths and promises of your word. As you have strengthened them and helped them get through their lives, so also we know you will strengthen us. Help us as well to get through our lives and all of our troubles. Please help us to look upon them in the way of faith, the way of hope, the way of joy, the way of patience, the way of endurance, the way of faith, hope, and love in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.